Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special Capaccio for you, right?
Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, Carpaccio, no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a Carpaccio.
They like Capaccio. Oh.
On WGR.
I make a Capaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
You go on, well, Bulldog would call it X. You go on Twitter today, you don't see a lot of breaking news with the Bills, or even really much around the NFL. New Year's Eve, just like last week, the holiday on Wednesday, tomorrow. What you do see, if you're a Bills fan, is references to 7 years ago tonight. New Year's Eve 2017, the official end of the 17-year Bills playoff drought. And Sal, do you think this is an overstatement? No Bills fan will forget it.
No, I think it's right. It's just an incredible moment for the organization, for the fan base, for the media, for anybody, for the NFL. It really was. And for me to be right there and be a part of it, something I'll never forget, I'll tell you that. But no doubt, I mean, 17 years, it was a long time. And I think it was just so unexpected, too, that particular year, right, Mike? You know, I mean, they started off, you know, well, and then they had a dip, then they came back and they made it. But going into that season, it was, okay, we're bracing for an 18th year, and then they're going to reset and probably draft a quarterback the next year. And for it to come the way it did, I think made it even more special.
Two things that are interesting about it. One is, of course, that it was not a Bills play that broke the, you know, that made the outcome happen. The Bills had already won the game. It wasn't like they didn't play, but you have the images are of them in their locker room and then watching the Tyler Boyd catch for Cincinnati in Baltimore. And I like too, Sal, that because it really is only making the wild card, it's good that they've had so much more success since. You know, with the Sabres, they've got this seemingly interminable drought, and we refer back to it's like it's marked by making the playoffs, which isn't really that great of an accomplishment. It's okay, it's good, it's a starting point, but you certainly want to strive for greater. And I think it feels good remembering that night where the Bills were in Miami 7 years ago tonight, because they have had much more success since. It does feel like it was really the start of something.
Yeah, for sure. And I've thought about hopefully when, not if, when the Sabres do break the playoff drought, and like what that kind of moment is, because when will it be? Will it be they clinch a spot in late March? Do they clinch a spot on the last day of the season? And what that particular, you know, kind of reaction is going to be. I've thought about that, and I don't think it will approach the level of what it was for the Bills. You know, NFL and football, and you know, there's less teams that get in. I mean, I know there's more now, and it's still, you know, it was 12 at the time, six in each conference. So I don't think so. The other thing I thought about today, Mike, in a bit, was the Jets are at 14 right now, you know, and the Bills, this was 17 for them. And I think about, man, Jets fans, like, if you, what have I told you, have to wait another 3 years, because, you know, what it was like in Buffalo. We didn't know when it would end, right? Buffalo drew 14 years and, you know, 15 years, 16 years, nobody knew. Could have been 3-4 years. But I thought about that today, too, where their drought is, and, you know, not knowing if and when they're going to break theirs, and thinking about it was still 3 years longer for us here in Buffalo.
Right. It wouldn't be the longest ever, right? This the Bills 17, or when I go to Wikipedia for that, and you get like different different kinds of droughts, Super Bowl droughts, playoffs, divisional round, these kinds of things. Do you happen to know what the longest playoff one is?
I think it might have been the Cardinals until Jake Plummer came along. And then they, I think, let me see. I have a, actually, I do have a Cardinals, but it's not even that. It was even before that. I have, first thing that shows up, St. Louis Cardinals, now Arizona, and Washington, now Washington Commanders, tied for the dubious record of longest playoff drought in NFL history. Cardinals, 49-74. Washington, 46-71. Each went 25 years. I remember a long one, though, for the St. Louis slash Phoenix slash Arizona Cardinals, that they finally broke it in the late 90s.
97.
Yeah, I think that was a long one, I remember.
Mm-hmm. 25, like you said, Pittsburgh went 24 around the same time until like Bradshaw. Then New Orleans went 20 until 1986. And five teams had 17, including the Bills. Sal Capaccio on the Westher Hotline. I just referenced earlier, like, what the schedule this week is. Can you remind us, with New Year's tomorrow, what is the Bills' schedule for this week?
Yeah, they'll be having a kind of a normal schedule this week. Now, it'll most likely be a walkthrough tomorrow, but we'll get media from head coach Sean McDermott. We'll get our first injury report of the week. So it kind of looks different than last week. Last week was Christmas. This week's New Year's, but a little bit of a change. We did not hear from anyone today. The team was basically off. So it's a normal week as far as, you know, media is concerned, and then back at it on Thursday for what would be a normal practice to watch and talk to players afterwards.
We went over some of the news yesterday with respect to this game Sunday, who might play, who might not. I don't think we mentioned Micah Hyde there, though, but was it not said yesterday that he would not be back here?
That's correct. He won't play in this game. That's correct. Yeah, so I'm just clarifying what you mean by back here. He's still on the team, and he's still going to be a part of the team going forward. And I don't know what that means for the playoffs. It looks like to me, Mike, that Micah Hyde is a break glass in case of emergency safety for the playoffs, because I would think that if you'd want him to play, you might want to get him on the field at some point before then, instead of that not having to be his first action. But yes, Sean McDermott did clarify when specifically asked yesterday, Josh Reed asked him, you know, does getting a look at guys include Micah Hyde? Will he play? He said no, he will not play.
What is the lay of the land at safety now? They survived some of the injuries, but Hamlin coming back, Rapp back, Bishop, your thoughts on him recently?
Mm. So Sean did say that DeMar Hamlin and wide receiver Curtis Samuel, they have missed a couple of weeks here, I think 2-3 weeks, maybe in DeMar's case, but he said that, they could both be back this week, and they'd like to get both of them some run before the playoffs, get some reps in. So we could see that happening, depending how the week goes. Wouldn't be surprised to see both DeMar Hamlin and or Curtis Samuel playing. Now, as far as safety is concerned, yes, Rapp came back. Now you get DeMar Hamlin back. He's been the starting safety. I don't think they would go to Cole Bishop as a starter, simply because DeMar has played well this year, and he's been there for so much of the year, and the experience matters, and now you're going into the playoffs, and I think it matters even more, especially to them. But I do like how Cole Bishop has progressed here. I think that what I really like about Cole Bishop is I think it gives Bobby Babich options when Cole Bishop is out there. I think he has been very good when they've kind of snuck him up into the box. He comes out. He can set the edge sometimes. Even he can get into the box as a run defender. They do have options. Now DeMar, that is not taking anything away from him. He's played really well, and he can be a run supporter, no doubt. But I think the way the Bills want to play is to have those two deep safeties, keep everything in front of you, like kind of they've been doing most of the year. But I think that they feel comfortable if they have to go to Cole Bishop. But what I like is mostly, like I said, if you go to Cole Bishop, he is a guy that really you can kind of use a little bit differently and move up a little bit. And maybe there's some sort of role for him like that going forward.
Mm-hmm. By the way, so at the start of that, you mentioned Samuel as well as somebody that is trending up. What kind of chances would you put on Samuel becoming relevant in the playoffs? I mean, yesterday we had the conversation about how they have 13 different receivers or players that have caught touchdown passes this year. He is one of them. With his one in the game against the Chiefs, that there's been the narrative all year that he just was never right physically. He had a toe injury in August. I don't know. Is there room for Samuel to become relevant here?
There is. I think at this point, it's more hope than it is actually, you know, kind of seeing
logic.
It happen. Yeah, more hope than logic. That's a good way to put it, because I've thought for a while, okay, maybe, you know, you get him right, he gets in the playoffs, and now all of a sudden, hey, he's making plays for you and doing things for you that you kind of envisioned coming into the year that he just hasn't been. But, I mean, it's 18 weeks, 17 games. If it hasn't happened in some capacity now, I don't think that suddenly we're just going to see it. It'd be great for the Bills, I will tell you that. It would really help their offense. You were able to get something like that from him, but I just don't know if that's going to be the case. So I think that's more hoping that could come to fruition. I mean, that Kansas City game, the one he scored, the end that you're referencing, like, that was the game. Like, he start, okay, here we go, Curtis Samuel. And, you know, if you could get that kind of production and the way that they used him in that game, I think the Bills would love that. I just don't know if that's realistic at this point.
5 for 58 and a score in that game. And if there's an injury, then maybe the odds of this would go up. But without one, we're not so sure. I don't believe Samuel has ever appeared in a postseason game. He's been in the league for 8 years. Four with Carolina. One of those teams might have made it, but he didn't play in a postseason game. And then three with Washington. So I think this would be his first if he gets, you know, if he's active next week.
He's the NFL's Jeff Skinner.
He is the NFL's Jeff Skinner. Yes, with Buffalo ties. Would you believe it?
That's right. That's right.
Okay. So I texted you that I had some trivia today. So. Uh-huh. I got a great text from our old colleague, Brad Ryder, old in that he used to work here. He's younger than me. 3 years to the day, if you care. And he, like myself, and I think you, has, you know, spend some time watching old games.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he just texted me, for me, this came very randomly. Who do you think, if you think about it, who did the best job in Bill's playoff history as a color commentator? That's not the perfect way to phrase the question, but he wondered if I had a thought on, like, who was the best performance by a color commentator in a Bills playoff game all time? And, like, such a specific, wild, fun question if you're like me.
Is the question referring to, like, in a one, like, wow, that one game he was great? Or,
yes.
So, if I take the whole body of work throughout the history of the playoff games?
No, just one game. He basically wanted to know if I had, like, a particular performance that came to mind. And so I didn't, but when I thought about it, I said, you know what, Brad? Bill Walsh at Bill's Raiders seems like maybe he was great, although I can't quote anything from that game, but I just sort of gave him that. He's like, that's exactly the guy and game I was thinking of from 51 to 3. So I know, Brad, this is all just a preface to, unless you have a thought on that specifically, but he wanted to talk about this some more and some of these old games and everything like that. I thought, yes, it's New Year's Eve, but I put some work in here today and just chronicled every broadcast team that the Bills have ever had for a playoff game since the merger. I couldn't find the AFL games.
Well, I will tell you the one that comes to mind, and I was not a big fan of his, but just because of the game and the circumstance, Todd Christensen.
The comeback.
During the comeback.
Yep.
Right? Like, I mean, it's just his voice sticks out to me a bit because it was the comeback.
Right.
And, you know, and I wasn't a big Todd Christensen, like, guy. I wasn't a big fan of his as an analyst. But that game specifically was so big that I think about that game sometimes.
Mm-hmm. That is the only – he was on the sideline for maybe even the Super Bowls against Dallas or one of them. Mm. And please don't take it personally when I did not include the sideline reporters in my, like, little okay. spreadsheet here. But three...
No, you said color analyst. That's okay.
I did. Three Bills playoff games in history have had three men in the booth.
Three Bills playoff games in history have had three men in the booth.
Yes.
Okay.
You want this one?
Well, I'm going to guess one of them would be Super Bowl 25 because that was ABC.
Right.
And they did a three-man booth for Monday Night Football all the time, so that would translate into Al Michaels, Frank Gifford, and Dan Dierdorf.
That's correct.
Okay.
The other two games are not Super Bowls.
Are more recent. Okay, right. The other two, I would guess, are more recent, but it doesn't have to be, like, because it doesn't have to be, but I would think in today's day and age, the way that they set things up now, maybe more so. Okay, how about this? Was there three people in the booth in the Bills Texans game down in Houston several years ago?
No, that's a good guess, because there probably could have been. That was Joe Tessitore and Booger McFarland. And why wasn't there a third person?
Because usually, I'm thinking about how they... I'm thinking of the operation, right? I'm playing the more the operation of which networks had these, so where would these...
Yep.
Where would these guys come from, right? And how would you do it? Bills Ravens, Bills... No, you got Tony and you got... I don't think that would be the case. How far back? Is it fairly recent for any of these?
They're both in the 90s. No, by the way, these do not also include the new world of officials being included in the broadcast team. Former officials.
How about Bills Dolphins, Doug Flutie getting sacked by Trace Armstrong at the end?
Correct. Michaels.
Because that's also an ABC game.
That's also an ABC game. The Molds game. Michaels, Dan Dierdorf, Boomer Esiason.
Okay. That's how I'm trying to play this here. Are all three ABC games?
Yes.
Yeah, because ABC. Okay, so the last one that I'm going to guess was Bills, Dolphins, the Tim Tyndale game at home.
No, that was ABC. That was Mushberger and Vermeil.
I'm so impressed with myself to know these networks that carry these games, by the way.
You got to know the networks. You got to know the networks.
You got to know the network. That's right. Wow, Dick Vermeil did that game, huh?
Dick Vermeil with Mushberger.
Dick Vermeil did that game. No, I can't.
It is ABC, though. It might be the only other one.
It is ABC. Wouldn't be Bill's Steelers the week after the comeback.
Nope.
Okay.
Three-man booth.
Home run throwback.
Right. That was the ESPN Sunday night crew from those years.
Right.
Mike Patrick, Paul McGuire, and Joe Theismann.
Mike Patrick was really good.
I kind of thought that he lost it, but I liked his voice. He had good energy. I thought he was fine. He was fine. Mm-hmm. Late, I got annoyed with him, but I get annoyed with all of them. Do you have a favorite in this category? Who was your favorite analyst or anybody that would have broadcast one of these games?
I don't know if I'd say favorite analyst. For me, I'd go to the play-by-play guys, and not even necessarily their style or who they are, or what they, how they go about it. But when I think about Bill's games and the voices that are indelible in my mind, that are just like, okay, I do think about Marv Albert, and I do think about Don Criqui. So those are the guys that, right away, they kind of come to mind for Bills games of that era. So that's probably where I would go, just because they're so comfortable to me.
Love it. I remember Peter King once wrote, like, nobody watches games for the announcers. I 100% watch games for the announcers. And when I'm picking one of these old games to turn on, if I don't like how it sounds, I don't care. I won't watch it. It doesn't matter if it's the most famous Bills win ever. If I don't like how it sounded, I won't watch it. Criqui, who broadcast many NFL playoff games in his day, never got a Bills one. Marv Albert got 5. Is that a surprisingly high number for you? It is for me. He had 5 Bills playoff games.
That's totally surprising, just knowing that, in that time period. Criqui did not get playoff games. What he did get was the 88 game that the goalposts came down when Fred Smirlis blocked it and then went to overtime.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
He was on the call for that game in Buffalo.
I was busy
that
running
was
around.
Criqui and Trumpy, I believe.
Yeah, they were together. I was busy running around on the field, so I did not ever watch that game.
Were you on the field, really?
Oh, yeah. I can't find it anymore, but a huge piece of the net.
Wow.
The field goal net. I used to have a huge piece of it.
I am just learning this today for the first time ever. That's amazing.
Yeah, and I had like a Halloween mask on. It was after Halloween, but it was close enough maybe that I had just this weird ghost mask on. And I mean, that's a different lifetime. Jim Nance is closing in. So I don't know if we necessarily associate Nance and Romo with the Bills in the playoffs, but they together have called 7 Bills playoff games already, including the last 5.
Wow. No, I didn't know that.
That's when this, I did this work this morning and it just jumped out at me. Like, they've called the last 5 Bills playoff games. The last one they didn't was the Patriots game in the cold. But they also had the AFC Championship, of course, the year before that. And they had the game in Jacksonville. And that probably was a big deal. that Nance and Romo got a Bills game. Who knows how many they'd even had that season? It wasn't like the Bills were good in 2017, but they did get the wild card game in Jacksonville, the first of seven games they've done, and it won't be the last that we see them again.
I think they could do the very first one this year, because even though it's going to be a 7-2, I think, to me, if it's Denver, like my guess is if it's Denver, it's going to be 1 p.m. Sunday. And I think that will be the CBS game.
I think there will be two CBS games this year. Okay. I think I read that Fox had two last year and CBS gets two this year.
Okay.
So maybe they're both on Sunday. Maybe it's Saturday, Sunday, but there's certainly a chance at it. You're right. All right. Well, Happy New Year, Sal. Thanks for your time today. And we'll talk again with Bulldog back on Thursday.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Happy New Year to you and your family. Happy New Year to everybody listening.
Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. His appearance is brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. Your place to buy a case, outlet liquor. What's your outlet? I should have given this a few more minutes to go back into the 60s, because I know some of those playoff games in the AFL were televised, but they might have been local broadcasts, and I really don't know. The website that I use for all this, it's called, and I have to always check, gridironuniforms.com. If you're into the trivia of it, it's what teams wore in every game and network, and so maybe trivia about the game, and also who were the broadcasters. And so gridiron-uniforms.com for all that. When I looked up, I believe it's the four. I think the Bills had four postseason games in the 60s, and no announcers were listed on the site. So I mentioned Brad Ryder giving me this text the other day. It just lit me up. I was so excited to hear from him and think about all this stuff again. And Brad even told me today that he has notes. So he has an agenda. I think that that's probably doesn't sound as good as having notes, but I think Brad has an agenda. And I, for one, am excited about it. Brad next. Paul Hamilton next hour. The Sabres are in Dallas tonight. Winter Classic is today coming up. Blues and Blackhawks from Wrigley Field in just over an hour. So we'll get the Sabres update from Paul and then Ross Tucker at 5. Happy New Year. This is Mike Schoep on WGR.